Everybody should have received a sheet in lieu of the PowerPoint presentation. Okay? So,
we are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen. Everybody can read. Look at that. Nice. See? Ain't this better?
The Lord is kind.
This better. We welcome y'all today. God welcomes y'all today. It is so beautiful to be in the house of the Lord. It is so beautiful to be enthroned with his presence. Amen.
That's how we fight our battles.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my
fight my battle. This is how we fight our battle. surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how it feels.
It looks like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how we fight our battles. 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 This is how we fight our battles.
How is everybody today?
Good.
Today we'll be doing our scripture reading. If you can stand, go ahead and stand. Our scripture reading comes from 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 27. The New Living Translation is what we'll be reading out of today. Let us read. Let us read together. All right.
Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for just giving us everything we can see today that comes from you. We ask that you instill in us everything we need to not be afraid of anything you've created, because it came from you. So Lord God, just guide us through this week. Protect us through this day and give us what we need for your will.
Amen.
We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Oh, welcome. Come on, let's welcome his presence into this place. God, we honor you, Lord. Welcome into this broken vessel.
Praises of your people.
So we lift our hands.
As we lift our hearts.
As we lift our hands. So we lift our hands.
We lift our hearts.
But you know what? The words are still the same. Yes, welcome into this place. As we lift our hearts and our hands, Lord, welcome. Lord, we adore you. Lord, you are none. You are like no other. And we welcome you into this place, Lord. Come in, Shekinah glory. Amen.
Amen.
Oh!
this is the offering. The deacons will come around. If you need an envelope, you want to put in your offering, your love offering, he's right there.
All right.
Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Draw near to
Rejoice! My fault. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, so we're going to do collective announcements today because this is going to let me know that y'all pay attention to what I say up here. So, Pastor O is preaching today, okay?
We got that.
Got that part. All right, so Mondays, what goes on Mondays? Minister Shelley has her Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. Street Love. Never mind, I got this. Never mind. Okay. At 6:30. Oh, no. On Mondays at 6:30. Minister Shelley has her Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. It's on Mondays on Blog Talk Radio at 6:30. You can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Christian Resources for more info. On Tuesdays at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class on Blog Talk Radio. So this week our teacher is Sister Keela Freeman, and she is teaching the lesson entitled Hannah Commits Her Son to God. So the questions are, you know, the end of the chapter. If you need a book to participate, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, to get a book. Don't forget that every other Friday is Bring Back the Family with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn on Blog Talk at 7 p.m. So she had her class on this past Friday, so nothing this Friday, but then she'll pick up again on the following Friday because it's every other Friday. And then also don't forget on Saturdays we have our Saturday worship service on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. If you didn't listen yesterday, you might want to go back. It will definitely do you some good. Pastor Terrence Tate preached yesterday about basically how you need to get your faith in order and to not let it go because times get hard. And so in the world that we're living in, if you're not having hard times, then you're probably not really alive because stuff is going on all the time. So yeah, you might want to pinch yourself to check and see if you're actually breathing because things are hard. They're hard all the time. But we have to remember that God is supreme overall. That's what Nicole taught us this morning in class. And so he rules over everything. He is sovereign over everything. Things that you see and things that you don't see. So we know life gets hard. We know the world itself is rough. But we're kind of just passing through because our citizenship is where?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Okay. Is there, praise team, is there a prayer list that's going to be? Somebody back there, one of y'all going to be doing altar call? Jonathan has it. Okay, so there's a prayer list coming up. So birthdays, happy birthday to everyone who celebrated their birthday this month or will be celebrating their birthday this month. So Pastor Sarah had her birthday on the 1st. Hunter had her birthday on the 4th. Malachi, we can finally shout him out. He is here today. Amen. He had his birthday on the 8th. Yours truly, myself, and Logan, we had our birthdays on the 12th. Deandra and Isaiah. Today is
Isaiah.
Today is his birthday. All right. Avedris Cowan, she'll be celebrating her birthday on the 16th. Baby Gia is going to be celebrating her birthday on the 18th. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks is celebrating her birthday on the 19th. And Deaconess Lisa Gordon is going to be closing us out with her birthday on the 21st. All right. Okay, so I'm going to need y'all to listen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Ryan's saying nothing. Oh, Ryan's is the 6th. Okay, well, I need to get my list together. I'm sorry. Okay. Amen. Happy birthday to those who I missed. Oh, right. Okay. All right. So I need y'all to listen to this. Oh, yeah, ma'am. Yes, mother. Okay, Cliff, brother Cliff. His birthday is on the 2nd, July 2nd. Okay, I need to get my list updated. Happy birthday to everybody in here, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Whether it's your birthday or not. Okay, so, all right, your devotional for today is entitled Pray First, Pray More. All right? While your perspective is limited, God's perspective is eternal. He can see the beginning and the end. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 3. Sometimes it seems the odds are against you. I once read the story of a man named Brian who had a day like that. First, his apartment flooded from a broken pipe. When he went to rent a water vacuum, he discovered that he had a flat tire. He went back inside to phone a friend for help, But grabbing the phone while standing in water gave him such a startling electrical shock that he ripped the phone off the wall. By the time he was able to leave, water damage had caused his door to swell shut, and he had to yell for a neighbor to kick it down. While all this was happening, somebody stole Brian's car. That evening, Brian attended a military ceremony at his university and injured himself when he sat on his bayonet. Doctors stitched his wound, but no one could resuscitate Brian's four canaries who were crushed by fallen plaster from the wet apartment ceiling. On top of all that, when he got back from the university, he slipped on the wet carpet and injured his tailbone. Brian said he began to wonder if God wanted him dead but just kept missing. Have you ever had a day like that, or maybe a year like that? What do you do when you're facing insurmountable, overwhelming problems? Before you do anything else, you go directly to God. You say, God, I am overwhelmed. And you ask, God, what do you think about this situation? Now, I know that's kind of hard to do when you done broke your tailbone, your tire is flat, you done slipped and fell, you got stitches, you got a headache, your birds died. Like, we can keep adding on to the list. It's hard to just go to God first and be like, okay, what's up? Because we're just so in the midst of what we got going on.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, while your perspective is limited, God's perspective is eternal. He can see the beginning and the end. He can see past, present, and future all at once. You need to get God's perspective, the bigger picture of the problem that seems so overwhelming to you right now. Too often we see prayer as a last resort rather than as our first thought. Prayer is usually something we do way down the line after we've tried everything else. People will say, I guess all we can do now is pray, like it's their last option. Prayer should be your first choice, not your last resort. If you want God to help you overcome the odds in any area of your life, you have to turn to Him first. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 3 says, after this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. When verse 1 says, after this, it's referring to a great national revival or a spiritual awakening. There was great prosperity and blessing in the land, but soon after, there was war. With every high, there is a low. After every victory, there is a letdown. And with every blessing, there comes a testing. You may not be in a battle right now, but you're going to be in one tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after that. You should expect blessing in your life, but you also need to expect battles in your life. You're going to have difficult times, but you should never let an impossible situation intimidate you. Let it motivate you to pray more and turn to God first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And those are your announcements.
Thank you.
Let us prepare for an altar call prayer. No, there is no virtual prayer list. What's that? I can read it actually. I won't swipe to the left. Alright, thank you very much. All right, so our prayer list is Keila Freeman, our mother Doris Gaither and Nakia as she cares for her mother. Our own Deacon Charles Mackey as he cares for his mother, and we continue to pray for them as well. All of our beautiful mothers at RFCM, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, Mother Irma, our brother Darius Freeman, our pastors, all the parents and the children everywhere as they partake in summer break. Our government leaders, from the president right on down to those who are responsible for our cities and counties. Not from our perspective, but from the biblical perspective, which is the only one that matters. Amen. Also pray for those who are sick and shut in, whether at home or in the hospital. All those who are stressed, depressed, hurting, hopeless. The list of things to pray for is inexhaustible. And that's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. That means we should always be in prayer. What is prayer? It's communication with the Lord. So with that in mind, let us pray. Lord, help us to come to you all day, every day, talking to you, and not just talking to you with wish lists, but listening as well. Lord, help us, Lord, as your word says in Psalm 51, to create in us a clean heart and a loyal, right spirit. Don't take your presence, Lord, from us. Lord, we need you more so now than ever. We know that the trajectory of this world is moving in the wrong direction, but in the right direction in the biblical sense, because time ain't long and we're moving closer and closer, getting nearer and nearer to your return. But Lord, help us to be like the watchman who stays up throughout the night, who's seeking your return, but also doing the work that he or she has been assigned to do. Sometimes, Lord, we think that you're just going to magically make things happen as a genie in a lamp. But help us to realize that you've already done your work. We have to do ours. And as we do our work, we tap into those additional blessings and things that you provide. Lord, you open up doors that no one else can. You provide as no one else could. And you heal and you restore and you cover. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that we can come boldly to you because of our brother Jesus, who paid it all for us. We deserve that cross, Lord, and I'll continue to say it as a reminder to myself and others that Jesus came and received the worst punishment ever known or thought of or imagined to pay for all of our sins. Even with the rejection and everything that he faced courageously, because he did that, we have you. And we have you for eternity. But help us not to be satisfied with our own salvation, but with the salvation of those who are coming to you, Lord. And for those who don't know you, there are a lot of people around the world and right in our own backyards who don't know you. And right now, Lord, it's time for us to strap up our boots, to grab our swords, which is the word of God, our Bibles, and head on out to the mission field. The harvest is ready, Lord. All we have to do is do our part, which is just plant seeds. You make it grow. You make things flourish. You make things multiply. You attract people to us. But help us to handle them rightfully and carefully and lovingly as they approach, Lord. Help us not to get so distracted in our foolishness and shenanigans, but to keep your mission in front of us. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
my daily bread.
To the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. Okay. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, in this big yet little church where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. In this church that is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, where we come to worship and learn about the Most High God, another spiritual breakfast has been prepared for the nourishment of our inner men. May we all get the meat of this word. Today's message is titled, Righteousness by Faith, Part 2. The text is the same as last week, Romans chapter number 3, verses 19 through 24. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. And it reads as follows. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's open our ears, our minds, and our hearts and receive Gerald Marshall Overall as he delivers part two of his sermon series titled Righteousness by Faith. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Good morning. Oh, I can't wait to preach. I was just telling Carmen. Push out 19 on that one. Amen. She can keep a secret. Amen. Okay, I asked her to preach. She said no. Anyway, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we do praise your name. And thank you again for giving us another opportunity to be here. We've been through 7 days, Father, and we don't take it lightly. Because a lot of things happened in these 7 days, and the things we've heard and saw in the news could have been us. But it wasn't. We're here by your grace. Your goodness kept us, and we thank you for being a good, good Father. Father, we pray that Pastor Janice Tate gets some much-deserved rest and relaxation so that you can recover her and bring her back stronger than she was before. And we thank you for this praise team who carried on in her stead. And now, Father, we ask that you bless us this morning with the words that you've given me about how you make us right with you. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and ask your blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
Lord, bless my heart.
Lord, bless
so
my
it receives
heart.
Your word today.
Receive your word
because
today.
I acknowledge to you.
My ways and thoughts
are not like yours, but I'm here today. Change the way I think according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The goal is to get to God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. That's the goal. Every single day when you wake up, Lord, what is your good? What is your pleasing? What is your perfect will for my life? That will reset your day right from the beginning. It will lift your expectations rather than whatever it is you have to go through. He'll lift your expectations right from. We need to know that we are victorious. And we're not fighting or going somewhere to get the victory. We're operating from a position of we have the victory. Yolanda Adams wrote a song about it a long time ago. I've got what? The victory. Amen? So we can't lose. And even if it seems like we're losing, what is God doing? I'm going to use all things to work together for your good. So even when Joseph got bounced into that jail for 13 years and hadn't done, he didn't commit that rape. But he got bounced into jail for 13 years. Did the Lord not make that thing work out for his good? God got him some training down there in that jail. And when he was thoroughly trained and ready to go, amen, what did God do? Made him prime minister of Egypt. Amen. Don't ever think God ain't on you. Look, don't let the devil convince you because you mess up that God ain't on your side.
Okay.
Don't you think that?
Yes.
No, he's going to take that mess up and use it to bring a bless up. I just made that up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But the Lord is looking for a way. His goal with you, no matter what the devil tell him, his goal is to get you to hook up.
Yeah. Amen.
Like he used the devil on Job, didn't he?
Yeah.
The devil thought he had him. But God got him double for his trouble. So he used the devil to bless Job. Because Job had the fear of losing his money, his children, his status in the community, and his health. God let him lose all of that. And he found out, this ain't that bad. Jesus is still with me. I don't like it. But Jesus still here. And when he came to the end and found out that God was just being God, he said, I'm good with that. And when God knew he was good with that, asked him to pray for his haters. Amen. He asked the Lord, bless my haters. The Lord told his haters, look, you need to go talk to Job because you said a bunch of stuff to him that I ain't tell you to say. Amen.
Okay.
You need to go ask Job to pray for you. How do you think Job felt, Malachi, when they had trashed him for 39 chapters, right? You know you did it. God don't do this to people unless they did it. You know you did it. Fess up, Job, you did it. And then 39 chapters later, God done talked to Job and let him know what's going on. And they come sidling up. Job looked at him like Ollie looking at me. They're like, what you want? Well,
you're right.
You know all that stuff we said about you, man? We was just testing you. We didn't even mean none of that. And God asked us to have you pray for us. He sent them, like in Philippians chapter 3. I mean, in Revelations, in the Philadelphian church, chapter 3. The Lord said, I will make those who was against you come and bow down before you and recognize that I was with you. And he did that in the Old Testament for Job. This ain't even my sermon at all. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God wanted somebody to know that we won. We got to stop walking around like I'm going to win this. No, you've already won. You just got to keep going.
Okay.
You got to keep going to the finish line. Amen. We want to move the finish line back here. No, but God wants the finish line up here for a reason. Amen. Because you're going to pick up something from there to here. Like we said about Joseph, all them years in jail, he picked up something from there to here that enabled him to become prime minister. Amen.
All right.
Well, we're going to continue our discussion on the book of Romans, and we're dealing with chapters 1-3. And our title is Righteousness by Faith. And on last week, we talked about the Gentiles. The Gentiles, they were going to tell God, we didn't have no Bible. We didn't have no Bible classes, no pastors, no teachers. We didn't even know nothing about our 39 books of the Old Testament. We're innocent because of ignorance. But how many know? And Jeff will tell you that ignorance of the law is what? No excuse. You run that stop sign right in front of me and tell me you colorblind, too bad. You can read, can't you? Amen. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, because the Gentiles were going to claim, Mother Marilyn, God bless you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can see her smile through the man. Amen. 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 She made me forget my thoughts. See what you did? Amen. Gentiles were going to tell God, look, I ain't go to church. I ain't had no pastor. I ain't had no Bible. How you gonna send me to hell? I ain't even know what I was doing was wrong. God said, well, look at nature. Okay, and we talked about who God's witnesses will be. People who didn't have no Bible, people who ain't had no church, people who didn't go no Bible classes. Who is that? Adam didn't go to none. Cain and Abel didn't go to none. Amen. They didn't have no church. They didn't have no pastor. They didn't have no word of God. They didn't even have the 39 books from the Old Testament. It wasn't even written yet.
Yeah.
Okay, Enoch didn't have none of that. None of it. All they had was an oral tradition passed down from Adam to them about how to walk with God. That's all they had.
Yeah.
And Enoch perfected that walk so much that God just took him off the planet. Did you know that we could get that close to the Lord? That we could walk with Jesus that close till he say, you know, you might as well just come up here. Chris will be like, well, I'm going to stay back here just a little bit. I love these ones. Amen. Amir come in the kitchen one day. And mom's, Chris was just sitting there in the chair, head up in the ceiling. Jesus, did you, Jesus, bring my mama back. He's just going to get something to eat. I'm going to let her rest. She gone. Amen. But you have to think about that. What did those folks think when Enoch didn't come home? Amen. What did they think when somebody said, I hate to tell you this, man, but your daddy over there sleep on the ground. He's been over there for a while, though. You might want to go push him and find out he's gone. What do you think Enoch's family thought when they found out their father died? Oh, he must have did something to make God mad. No, he did something that made God so glad he took him off the planet. We can get that close to the Lord. And he demonstrated that with a Genesis. I love how God used these people in Genesis to tell us people in 2024, you can get that close to me if you want to. People used to ask me all the time, you say, Pastor, God is not a respecter of persons. Well, how did Peter, James, and John become the inner circle? Because they became the inner circle. They pressed in. It was a little crazy. You know, James and John, you know how they were. As if you didn't praise God right, Darius, they just had to call down fire from heaven on you. And they were Borogenes, right? The wild boys. Went and got their mama. Brought their mama to Jesus. Jeff, the ass, can I sit on your right and left hand? Jesus, like, really? You brought your mama? Y'all grown men. Plus, you don't even know what you're talking about. You brought your mama. Really? Y'all see The Chosen? See how that played out in The Chosen? And when the rest of the disciples, the Bible says when the rest of the disciples heard Lolo that they, I mean Deaconess Loretta, well, that they did that, they got indignant. And it wasn't a good kind of indignant either. They was like, oh, I can't even believe it. Really? Oh, y'all gonna bring y'all mama to try to get on the left and the right. Oh yeah, we ain't walking it. Wait till Jesus turns his back. Amen. So the Gentile excuse and all the behaviors, I know y'all read chapter 1, some of y'all read the whole book. Amen, praise the Lord. 1 John 1:9, am I up here lying? Ain't nobody read the book from last week to this week. Oh, we don't even know the answer, Jesus. We're just gonna let that go. But anyway, he is saying ignorance of the word of God is no excuse. Amen. Because God has made it plain without any of the things we need, we think we need to get saved, they got saved. Noah built a boat. God didn't tell Noah, I need you to go to shipbuilding school so you can learn how to build a boat. And then when you come back, I need you to build a boat. No, God spoke to him. And he had to believe this invisible voice he was hearing was God. And he demonstrated that by following those instructions. And he built that ark. Amen? Amen? So we can get close to God without any of the things we think we need today to do that. Amen? Amen. So ignorance of the law, ignorance of the existence of God is no excuse, because he has made a way for every human being on this planet to find him. If they were on the middle of an island somewhere and they were the only persons there, how fair would God be if he made it impossible for you to find out he exists unless you just went, I ain't find God in no church. Y'all know my story. I was on my way to my summer job. Amen. And one or two, I was on my way to my corner job. And that's where I met Jesus. I wasn't in church. I was on the street. And he revealed himself to me. Yeah. Amen. You cannot look at this world and tell me there is no, like I told y'all on last week, Neil deGrasse Tyson, that man saddens my heart to the nth degree. To the nth degree. Why? Because he know he is bounded. And he got mad at me when I told him that. I'm like, you and the rest of your empirical brothers are bounded. Bounded by what? Life and death. All you know about is after you got here and up till you leave here. You don't know nothing about before here. You don't know anything about after here. All you know is what's here. Yeah. And if that's like Dr. Tony Evans say, if all you see is what you see, then you have not seen all there is to see. If you're just looking through your eyes. The Lord needs you to put on, to find Jesus, you're going to have to put on spiritual eyes. You're going to have to see according to his word. You're going to have to see by faith. And faith is knowing what God said and acting on that.
Amen.
Nothing else is faith. It's foolishness. So God is telling the Gentiles in chapter 1, and that's who he's speaking to. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Because you're not a Jew, because you don't have the 39 books of the Old Testament, does not exempt you from my judgment. Because in verse 18, the Lord says he has made it. Did we read that verse? Read verse 18, and I'll stop you. That's what we're looking for. But Romans 1:18. Amen. That's enough. Amen.
Amen.
So God has already passed down the indictment on the Gentiles. Don't try to tell me you don't know. Don't try to tell me you can't at least say there's got to be somebody who did this. And somebody who had to be before this, because this was before me. When I got here, it was here. So somebody did it before I got here. So ignorance of the law, ignorance of the Bible is no excuse. That won't be. When you go to the white, if you end up at the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, that will not be an excuse.
Yeah.
And he's letting the Gentiles who are in that Roman church know that's not an excuse. And God wants us to know this, so when people say, look, I don't go to church, I don't have no Bible, I don't do this or that, how can God send me to hell? Well, you have creation itself. And the Lord says it displays my qualities. There's enough in creation to make you ask questions.
Yeah.
And there's enough Christians running around here who know God that you can go to one. You don't have to go to a Buddhist to try to find out who God is.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the myriad of Hindu gods to try to find out who God is. They had you worshiping monkeys and rats. When I was studying Hinduism, like Jesus, they feel like this, that everything is God. They're what the Bible, what Christian theology calls pantheists. They believe God is everything and in everything. So they believe, person, if a cow is in the river where you need to go down there and take a bath or wash some clothes, you gotta wait till the cow come out. He got just as much right to that water as you do. So they raise everything to the level of God. That's why when you go to certain places, they got monkeys running around. I'm like, Jesus, why think of these monkeys in the zoo? He's like, those monkeys got as much right to run around as you. You let that monkey snatch my sandwich like you did that man's sandwich. He gonna have the right to die. Amen. Praise the Lord. He got as much right to get slapped as I do. Amen. Now, go get me a cat and say, slap that boy. Y'all know cats love to slap people. They... It's something else, amen. So after Paul demonstrated to the Jew, to the Gentiles, look, you cannot claim ignorance and think you're going to get away. Okay? You can't claim that as that's going to be a winning excuse for you. It won't work. Now the Jews were over here in the corner and they were laughing at him. Yeah, oh, y'all going to hell. King Lee was like, y'all going to hell. Y'all don't have no God. We got God over here. They was claiming religion. Some folks think because they come sit in the church, they're going to heaven. Mm-mm. Jesus know who's in relationship with him and who ain't. Jesus know who really confessed him and who didn't. Just because you got a Bible, just because you go to church and Bible class, give tithes and offerings, you're going to heaven? Amen. My mama went to church for her whole life. I know I'm in. One of the saddest things that I have to do, ever have had to do, is go and bury a son who died in prison. my pastor sent me to do that. He said, I need you to go and do a funeral for me up at the funeral home. And Jeff, I was like, okay. And I'm like, cool, you're my pastor, you know, I'm here to help. And then I get up there and I find out that this boy died in prison. And so I'm listening to everybody who comes up and talk, Carmen. I want to hear somebody say he had a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? They said his mom and his daddy went to church. They said his brothers and sisters went to church. I knew the guy. We both had the same job. Some job. One of them jobs. We both had one of them jobs. Some job. One or two. Amen. Call a job. Amen. And amen. And now I have to get up. And I have to say a word. Because his mama religious. His daddy religious. His brothers and sisters religious. So religion is on him too. Amen. Heavenly bound by association. No, you don't get to go. You have to make a personal choice for Christ. You have to believe in Christ. You can't go because somebody else go. And religion won't save you. The Jews are like, we have the law. We have the sacrifices. We have the rituals. Well, Jesus says, hey, they're not working for you. Because you say people shouldn't steal. I saw you stealing last week. You say people shouldn't lie. I'm waiting for you to tell one truth. So what you're claiming is, because I'm a Jew, you read John chapter 8 and start at verse 42 and read the whole chapter after that woman that got caught in adultery, amen, who they was trying to stone her, and everybody had to leave because they probably had been with her, amen. Jesus said, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. The Pharisees dropped their stone. The Sadducees dropped their stone. These are the religious leaders. Yeah. They all dropped. They weren't holy enough to throw nothing. And then all the people who they had been telling, you need to live like this, you need to live like that. They're like, why you still ain't got your stone? Why you? I know why I'm dropping mine. Okay, but why you dropping yours? And you can imagine when the Pharisees got to walking out, Carmen, they were looking at him, Sharon. It was like, for real? I know I dropped my stone because I know how I roll.
Yeah.
But I thought you. I used to tell God I want to be like you. But you drop your stone. So they're claiming religion.
Yeah.
This one makes me right with God. Mary, they're like, I ain't got to live right. I am right because I'm a Jew. And the Lord says, no, you do the same. You're worse than them. The very fact that you claim that you know me, the very fact that you claim you got a Bible, but you're doing everything in it that I told you not to do, demonstrates you don't know me. Jesus said, if you love me, guess what? You'll keep my commands. Amen. I had to learn that one the hard way. Because I was Nicole, I was Jesus, you know I love you. I was like Peter when Jesus said, do you love me?
Yeah.
And he had to adjust that to from agape to phileo or philios, friendship love, not agape unconditional love, but friendship. Amen. But Jesus stands and says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm like, Lord, I do love you. He said, then why are you out here drag racing when you should be at church helping your pastor and teaching your Sunday school class? If you love me. Why you don't serve me? If you love me. Why you don't do what I tell you to do? Why are you out here doing what Satan got you doing and what you want to do? But you love me. I can't, Lord have mercy, I can't tell you how hard I cried all the way home. All the way home. But guess what? That's when drag racing started to take a back seat. Because I had to deal with that reality that I claimed something that I wasn't doing. I wasn't doing it. Amen. I was guilty. Carmen, I joined the same church 6 times, but you love the Lord. And the rule was you can't miss 3 months in a row. I came back 9 months later. Amen. So Jesus is telling the Jews, you're trying to hold on to religion. And you're trying to use religiosity as a way of making yourself righteous in my sight. And he's telling the Gentiles, you're trying to claim ignorance. That's your way of finding yourself righteous in my sight. This is your way to escape my judgment against sin. Both of y'all lose. Both of y'all wrong. Rebecca's been wanting to read something for a couple of weeks now. Amen. See, look at, just jump right up. Amen. She's been wanting to read something for about 2 weeks. She'd be like, I can't wait to get them straight. Amen. They're going to get straight. So what Rebecca's about to do is she's about to announce God's indictment on the Jews and the Gentiles. Go ahead, Rebecca, light them up. She's going to read you Romans 9 through 18. Romans chapter 3. Look out. Boy, oh boy. I don't even know how to feel after seeing them preach that. Amen. That is the condition of all humanity. The Lord has announced his indictment against all humanity. And he has found that the ignorant people, guilty. He has found that the religious people, guilty. And of course, as she read in verse 19, obviously the law was for those to whom it was given. Now we know that the law was not given to us, right? But the reason the law was given is so that all of us would know that we're sinners. Raise your hand if you've never broken one of God's laws. Raise your hand if you've had some perfect days. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. And on my good days, I slapped a few people. And on my bad days, I slapped them down the hill. Amen. That's our life. that's our life. We like to run around pretending like we're perfect, like God got a gift when he got us. Lord, when you got me, I am like the one who went down to the temple, the Pharisee, and prayed. He's down there telling God how awesome he is, how good he is. Lord, you know I pass office, I go to church, I help people, I help the poor. I'm just awesome. You are blessed to have me. Amen. And then there's the sinner. The publican, the tax collector. He finished his little offering by saying, and Lord, I'm not a sinner like that man. I ain't going to point at nobody. Amen. But he literally pointed at Homeo down there and said, I'm not a sinner like that guy. In other words, I don't even know why I'm here. I just really stopped by Jesus to tell you how awesome I am. I'm going to be leaving now. But the man who was actually crapped out, the publican, the tax collector, amen, the traitor, the one who ganked his own people on behalf of Rome, he recognized his situation, Cheryl. He said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Mother, he said, I'm a sinner. I don't even deserve to breathe. Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. Now Jesus got involved, which tells me this may have been a real situation. And Jesus asked his disciples, who do you think went home justified? It definitely wasn't a man down there bragging about how he ain't never sinned and God got a gift when he got him. Jesus wasn't a gift, he was. But Jesus said that the publican, he went home justified. Why? Because he acknowledged his guilt before God. He acknowledged his unreadiness, his unstableness to God. And the Lord pronounced him what? Righteous. He didn't go tell God he was righteous. But the Lord pronounced him righteous. So what do we do? We didn't ask to come into this world. We didn't ask to be born. We didn't ask God about any condition we found ourselves in when we got here. But when we got old enough, somebody told us we were sinners. Somebody told us we need to do something with Jesus. We need to make a choice about Jesus. We need to get saved. We need to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Somebody told us that. But what the Lord is telling us and what he wants us to know when we approach people about Christ, listen to them. Discover if they're a Gentile in their thinking. Ignorance of the law is going to get me in. Listen to them in their thinking, in their talking. Are they sounding like a Jew? I'm religious. I go to church every Sunday, get tithes and offerings and everything. Just listen. And then use the word of God to bring them from where they are to where God wants them. What God wants them is where Rebecca just brought us. Guilty before God. Every one of us. All on the same level. Jesus just leveled the playing field. None of us are better than any other of us. When I used to preach at First Baptist Church, I used to say, amen. I used to say, hey, with Jesus in your life, where do you end up? In heaven. If Jesus not in your life, where do you end up? What's the difference? Jesus. Yes. Jesus. When we go out to the world, God wants us to understand how important it is that they understand, that we understand how we are made right with him. That is no joke. There's only one way to be made right with God, and that's to accept the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? Through who? So God provided a way for us to be made right with him. I was so glad, Eric, when I finally understood the gospel. Because before that, I kept messing it up, Malachi. I just kept messing it up. I'm like, Jesus, I done messed it up again. Until finally the Lord sat me down in the book of Romans. And I'm like, so you saved me. I mean, what part of God so loved the world that he gave you don't get? Amen? Amen. So I'm like, I can't mess this up. He's like, no. Didn't you hear Jesus say in John chapter 10, those that the Father hath given me? Wow. How many did he lose? None. And then he went on to say, if somebody can get them out my Father's hand, out of my hand, forget about getting them out of my Father's hand. Jesus even gave us that little caveat, right? That if you think somebody can take them away from me, get them from my Father. Amen. So God has provided a way for man to be made right with him once and for all. And all it requires is belief. going to church, tithes and offerings, Bible class, that's after you saved. None of that stuff means nothing to God before you saved. You just practicing religion. But when you get saved, I used to ask the Lord about Running for Christ Ministries. I used to say, Lord, you keep talking about all these people who are going to come to help me. How can I recognize them? He said, those will be the ones who you don't have to chase after to do anything. They will just show up. And they did. Looked up one day, here comes Jonathan. Amen. I'm like, God got a job for you. He's like, I just got here. Looked one day, here comes Sharon. God got a job for you. Amen. And I kept looking up and people kept walking in. And I kept, God got a job for you. God got a job for you, Crystal. Brought her mama. I'm like, there ain't no excuse. God got a job for you. And your mama. She can be a mother. And everybody I got around, mother, everybody I got around, God got a job for you. I believe you got a gift. And God wants you to use it. You look like a teacher to me. Yeah, you sound like a teacher to me. God wants you to use it. Those are the things we do after we get saved. But to sit on a pew and chew and that's all you do till Jesus comes, that's not God's will. God wants you to be happy. When you understand salvation, when you understand who Jesus is, and I'm going to close with this. How many know the woman at the well wasn't saved? How many know the woman at the well was steeped in religion? You see, on Mount Gerizim, to this day, there are still 600 Samaritans who worship the old way. They don't have a temple, but they literally try to do the Bible the old way to this day. She was a number among those people. Amen? So Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Amen? And he tells his disciples to go in town, get us something to eat, feel a little hungry. So they take off, all 12 of them, even with crooked Judas, who got the money, and stealing out of them. How you going to walk with Jesus and steal his money? Literally, the Bible told us that Judas, when he didn't want Mary to put that stuff on his feet, that spikenard, that oil, that expensive oil, said we could have sold that for 300 pence and been paid. And then they followed it up by saying because he would often help himself to the Bible. How you going to walk with Jesus and steal his money? Oh, we do it. Tithes and offerings. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Jesus meets with this woman by the well. The woman comes about 12 o'clock and Jesus opens up a conversation. He's the master witness. Jesus says, give me something to drink. Watch how steep she is in religion. I'm a Samaritan. How can you, being a Jew, ask me for something to drink? Now, we all know that Jews would not drink out of a cup or eat off of a plate that Samaritans had. They had no dealings. So Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for something to drink. And I would give you something to drink and it would become a well of water springing up in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit after she accepts him as Lord and Savior. That's that well of water. And she said, sir, how can you give me this water? You ain't got a bucket. That's that what you would have told him, Tamika? Dude, you ain't even got a bucket. How are you going to give me this water? Jesus said, the water I got is of such a kind that if you drink this water, you ain't never going to need no more water. She said, well, Lord, give me this water so I don't have to come here and drink again. She thinks the conversation over, right? She got Jesus straight, right? Jesus said, go get your husband. She like, oh, snap. I should have left when I was winning. She like, oh, I ain't got no husband. Yeah, you done told the truth, but you done had five, and the one you got now, you done told the truth, he ain't your husband. Now watch this, Keela, she did not get offended. She didn't get offended at all. She said she recognized something from the scriptures. She said, we know that when Messiah comes, He'll show us everything. You Jews say that we should go to Jerusalem and worship. Okay, but my people telling me we're supposed to worship here on Mount Gerizim. Jesus said, y'all worship it ignorantly. But salvation is what? Of the Jews. So in other words, we know how to get saved. We know how to worship God according to his word. But y'all are a little ignorant about that. She says, sir, when Messiah comes, he'll tell us everything. Now remember, Jesus had told everybody who he ever did anything for, keep your mouth shut until I get up out the grave. But he didn't tell her that. She said, the man you're talking to, I'm the Messiah. Lolo, that was enough. That was enough. Right there, she accepted him as her Lord and Savior. Right there, and guess what she did? She went straight to town and started telling people, come see a man. See, when you get excited about Jesus, you can't just go to church and sit at the crib till next Sunday. You can't wait to get into the presence of somebody who's not saved. You can't wait to tell them, you need to come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And that's all she had. And then the end of the whole thing, after Jesus sees all these people coming, you heard Jonathan mention it, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus saw all these people coming toward him. He said, look, the fields are ripe and white and ready to be harvested. Others have labored, but you are walking right into their labors. Amen. The people, after sitting with Jesus for a few days, they said, we came out to hear Jesus because of your excitement, your passion about, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. But watch this over here. They believed on him because of his word. They came out to see him based on her word. But we believe because now we've heard him for ourselves. So once you lead them to Christ, bring them to church. Don't just leave them out there. Bring them to church so that they can grow in Christ, grow in their knowledge of the Lord. The grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, thank you for teaching us that salvation is for the ignorant and for the religious. We can't find ourselves our way to you. We cannot make ourselves right with you. You demand absolute perfection, and none of us are perfect. But you have imputed to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Son. You're treating us as if we're the one went to the cross. You're treating us as if we're the one that got up on that morning. You have literally taken his righteousness and clothed us in it, robed us in it. And now when you look at us, all you see is Jesus. Yes, you know that we are walking our way from earth to heaven, but you have Jesus working on us to perfect us, to turn us into who we're going to be forever. And Lord, you do all of this. You did all of this because you wanted to. We didn't do anything to make you desire us. But you do. And you desired us so much that your Son, who always did those things that pleased you, your Son, whose words were always yours, your Son, whose hands work was always yours, working through him, and wherever you were, that's where he was. He was the one who sacrificed his life for us. He became the propitiation for our sin. He fulfilled all the legal requirements of heaven. And now we are saved and can't be lost. We can't lose our salvation because we didn't give it to ourselves. You gave it to us.
Okay.
And you will keep us. Jesus, you have said that when we get to heaven and when everything else is all done away with and it's just us, then you yourself going to put yourself under God so that everything in creation is under God. Thank you, Lord. for thinking so much about us when we thought so very little of you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Thank Pastor O for that sermon.
Yes.
Righteousness by faith. I enjoyed it. Didn't y'all enjoy it? Why y'all look like y'all asleep? Everybody look like they, hey! That was real talk, y'all. Real talk. Come on, y'all. We about to go out. Y'all want to stand up?
Yeah.
Love.
our benediction by Pastor O.
Amen. Repeat after me. Say, may the love of God,
may the love of God,
and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit,
and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit,
and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ,
rest, rule, and abide,
rest, rule, and abide,
in and throughout our hearts,
in and throughout our hearts,
until we all meet again,
until we all meet again.
And the whole church said, amen.
Amen.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Life's an adventure. Share the journey. Introducing Yamaha's latest terrain-conquering side-by-side that combines thrilling power with maximum comfort and versatility. The all-new Wolverine R-Max 41000. It's an off-road game-changer. Check it out now at yamahamotorsports.com and see your local Yamaha dealer today. Always protect the environment and wear your seatbelt, helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. Read the owner's manual and product warning labels before operation.